Hello everyone and welcome to the show. It's me, Matthew Lewis, and as usual, the one and only. I say as usual, not been here for two bloody weeks. Here he is, Michael Bridges. How are you, mate?
Great to be back, mate. Thank you very much. I'm currently on holiday, so you nearly miss us again, but I've rattled back to the room. I've come away from the poolside because I love seeing your face and hearing your voice.
Yeah, sure you do. I've not seen you for 2 weeks. You finally tune in and you've just come off the beach in Portugal. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know why I didn't want to come on last week? Because you had Rob on. Obviously, he's one of the physios. The mainest guys. All I had in my career was talking to them guys.
Sick of it.
So the last thing I want to do was talk about injuries and see who was coming back. So I managed to blag my way out of that one. All right.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. I'll let you off. I know you watched the game because you were doing the comms. That was all right, wasn't it?
Absolutely outstanding. It could have been so many. I remember texting one of my mates. It was still 0-0. Keeper Backman having the game of his life, by the way. He turned Superman with the captain's armband on.
Bloody groundhog day with that.
Yeah, mental. And I was thinking, oh, don't be one of them days. Yeah. But thankfully, half-time again, Daniel Farke has gone through and just said, plenty more of the same, lads. Something will give. And I knew when one gave, that would follow on. So we played them off the park, mate. Yeah. I respected them for coming here and not playing a back five and trying to shut shop, because what a team like that does when they, you know, when you're not just shutting shop. Yeah, they got numbers back behind the ball, but they still played a bit of a proactive game. It was absolute a joy for us because there was so many gaps and so many holes to exploit. Mm-hmm. So it panned out absolutely brilliant for us, and it could have been 6, 7, or 8. That was a proper quality performance and one of the best of the season. You can just see now the clean sheets were building confidence at the back. Melier only had one thing to do in that game, and that was in the 89th minute, Matt. Mm. And when you've been quiet for a whole game, that's when you test the character for the goalkeepers, when you think, oh, are they actually awake? They've had nothing to do. He was alert to make the save and keep the clean sheet for the team. So I think all areas of the field, it was outstanding.
I think, I mean, now that we seem to have got a solid defence, obviously, you know, Rodon's he missed that game through suspension, but he'll be back now. But we seem to have got a pretty solid defensive line going. What is that, 4 clean sheets in a row? I feel like our games are going to go one of two ways now. It's going to be either 0-0 or 3-0, depending on whether we can get that first goal or not.
That's the one. And, you know, teams are going to recognise that. It sent a message. That result in that that game sent a message to the rest of the league that they really, you know, really recognise that Leeds have arrived. And I think the stability of the window shutting as well, having seen the squad that we have, the competition for places is obscene. Mm-hmm. It was great to see Liam Cooper come back in. Now, think of the pressure that was on Coops, all right? He was the one that galvanised it with his header when we were struggling. He had a comeback and he had a nasty injury off the back of his goal. So he's missed out. He was the catalyst behind that comeback last time out when he played. So for him to come in and see that there'd been clean sheets beforehand, there's enormous pressure on him. One, he's got to stay fit. Two, he's got to lead the line. He's got the captain's armband again. And three, he's realising that the competition for places is on now. So the way he handled his situation as well, the game management,
and thrown in the middle of a game as well.
You know, absolutely delighted for everybody involved on that game day. So it was just so exciting, man. I mean, that was, it was relentless. I loved it that we didn't just sit back, and it was nice to see even Daniel Farke, by the way, getting involved in the action, because I don't know if you saw his touch on the sideline.
How could I miss it?
Mate, it's absolutely sublime. And I'm thinking, I remember my wife looking at, she went, can you do that? I said, I would have done it a little bit better than that, but he's impressed us there, like.
Oh, yeah, but he's in his hush puppies, remember?
And he's just he's got his jacket, his hands in his pocket. I said, I wouldn't have been able to pull it off as amazing as what he did. It just, that moment for me typified the whole weekend of Leeds United's football and the atmosphere at the ground. Watford fans looked shell-shocked.
His little nod to the crowd. It was, you're right, it summed up the performance, didn't it? what do you think of the entire squad is really what my question's about, because obviously we've got the injury to Willy Nonto, which, as immensely frustrating as that is, you know, we the last thing we want to see is any of our players having time on the sidelines, but it's not as crucial an injury as it would have been, say, 6 months ago, 12 months ago. We now seem to have strength in depth across, particularly, you know, the midfield, the wingers. It's just something that I just don't, in my memory for some time, we've just not had. You know, injuries, even one injury has really put us up against the wall. And then now this one, as bad as it is, don't get me wrong, I would rather to be seeing Nonto in the starting lineup. But it's not one that we need to panic over, is it now? Because everyone seems to be playing so well.
We talked about Somerville came on and just it was a like almost like a like for like substitution with a bit more of an impact. One player's loss is another person's gain. You've got to be ready for that opportunity, and Somerville did that, and he took that form forward again. And a man that we're going to be speaking to today, Anthony, mate, his performance when he came on again, the competition for places is great because they're all coming on with a hunger and a desire to impress. Not only impress the manager and the staff because they want to play, but to impress at Elland Road in front of the fans and entertain. And that's what's been brilliant, rewarding for me to witness. Now, I made a massive comment. I've said if we can keep the front four play positions with the squad and depth that we have, you know, in that area of the field, we're going to be a top two team because there's goals all over the place there. And we've shown that we defensively now we're organised. The midfield has got some lovely balance with Kamara coming in. It takes a bit of pressure off the youngster, Gray. Ampadu just seems to go from strength to strength. And I'm going to get excited about this season already. I'm going to, you know, it's an early call from me. We are going to be a top two team as long as we don't get the front five. As long as we keep that front positions at the four and we don't get nasty injuries, we are going to be a force to be reckoned with, mate.
I'm certainly not going to argue with that, mate, based on the weekend's performance. Obviously, we've got a big one against Southampton, which we'll talk about a bit later on. But I think you're absolutely right. And just before we get on to Jaden Anthony, you just mentioned there, who I'm very interested to chat to, I just want to mention Jorginho Ruta, as we all know, has come under some flack, which a lot of it not really of his own making, honestly. He came with a heavy price tag. That's not his fault. He's very, very young. That's not his fault. He's moved to another country into a very imbalanced side at the time. But boy, this season has he found his feet in more ways than one.
It's a player that I've seen, and I've been critical of him. I don't mind admitting that because I'm a striker, the Strikers Union. If you want to be part of the Strikers Union, you've got to score goals, you've got to get assists. And I just felt that the price tag you mentioned he came with in the Premier League, the transition was too much of a big step for him. This season, completely different dynamics, mate. I want to see him on the ball as much as we can. He wants to get on the ball as much as he can. I mean, he's doing Maradona spin turns down this touchline. That's how much confidence this kid's got at this moment in time. And
in our own half.
Unbelievable. And even when you're not getting involved in the score sheet, he was involved in every moment of the goals that we scored. And almost every, I would say, opportunity that we created, Jorginho Ruta played his part. So he's playing with a smile on his face. His interviews I've seen from last season when he looked very sheepish and very didn't want to be doing them, as you can imagine. I know the pressure. I've been there before. It's not nice. And there's nothing better than seeing somebody come out of their shell and produce and realise a reaction to the fans. And he's embraced it. He went through his shirt in the crowd during the week. I think I witnessed, or the last week he was at a barbecue in the middle of the forest somewhere, toasting marshmallows with a group of young children that were out for the day as part of his, you know, his duties for Leeds United. And the camera, every time the camera was on him and wasn't on him, he was just smiling and he loved it. So for me, when you're enjoying your football on the field and you're doing it reflects, and you're enjoying your time off the field, we'll reap the benefits, mate. And I'm just so delighted that he's settled in finally, because he has arrived.
And what do we think of the boss just asking him maybe to not embarrass his opponents as much as maybe he's capable of?
Keep embarrassing them. Yeah, I think Daniel, I know that Daniel Farke was good mates with the opposition boss. I know they've done their badges together, so I think that was a tongue-in-cheek to basically say, listen, look after me, mate. We didn't want to make it 6-7 or 8-0. Yeah, we do. The more goals, the better. We want to demolish teams, just like Sheffield United got demolished the other day. That was great. Yeah, I think it was just looking after his mate, but I think he quietly would have said to Jorginho, listen, just keep showboating, my friend.
Well, hopefully we can get him on in the future weeks and we can use our exceptional French and we can chat to Jorginho in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, let's get on someone where I can hopefully use my English. Let's get on our new signing, Jaden Anthony, shall we? How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Thanks for having me as well.
It's a real pleasure to have you on the show, mate, especially after that debut goal at the weekend. How did that feel?
Yeah, no, it was a crazy feeling. I was warming up from probably just before the 60th minute, so it felt like ages before I came on. And then, luckily I got the goal and had the chance before as well that I thought I probably should have scored. It felt good to finally get a goal.
Jaden, you've just said it there, mate. You thought that you had to score. The defender was twisted inside out, mate. The move, right? I used to play with a couple of good wingers at Leeds United. Okay, now when I saw you come on, there's nothing better than having somebody that is, you can see they've warmed up properly. You know your mindset is that you want to come on and do well for the team. And your first bit of movement when you nutmeg the defender and then twist him inside, I'm thinking this could be goal of the season. This is one of the goals of the season here. And it was just that, the dolly shot at the end. But how did you feel after that missed opportunity? Did it just come too quickly for you in the game?
Yeah. Do you know what I think it was? I'd done the first two skills and I probably got a little bit too excited and rushed a shot. I probably had a bit more time than I thought I did. And I was a bit frustrated. And then luckily I got another chance from Georgie's obviously unbelievable skill. And then, I took my time on that one.
What was going through your mindset when you were through on goal there, mate? After so soon after your first opportunity, obviously I've played the game. I can explain it to a certain degree, but just for the, for the listeners and the fans, there's a lot of people getting one-on-one situations and completely crumble. That's when I tell a quality player the calm and the process what you went through there. So just try and explain what was going through your mind.
Yeah, obviously I sort of knew that the person that was marking me was quite far behind me from my movement beforehand. And then, one of my old coaches, Scott Parker, used to tell me to go cold in front of goal. And I thought it was, it sort of time slowed down and it felt like I had probably more time than I did. Obviously, when I took the shot, there's two defenders next to me, but it didn't feel like that at the moment. I felt like I had loads of time and I didn't need to rush anything. And then, luckily it went in and I could wheel off and celebrate with the fans.
Outstanding. Well, I'm actually over here in Portugal at the moment, mate. I'm going to be playing with Scott Parker on a golf course over here. So I'm going to get a bit of knowledge off him when I'm on the first tee box. And I'm absolutely crapping myself when I'm ready to hit that first tee shot. I'm going to remember that. Relax, calm down and breathe.
Just go cold.
Just go cold.
Just go cold.
You just mentioned the fans there. You said you went cold, but the cop absolutely erupted when you finished that in the bottom corner. What was that like hearing that roar at Elland Road?
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy feeling. And I had my family in the crowd as well and my girlfriend. And I remember a game last year here when I was on the bench and I think it ended 4-3 and the crowd was unbelievable that day. Like, it was one of the loudest stadiums I've ever been in. And ever since I've come here, I've been excited to hear that. And obviously the first game I got to score and experience it. And I'm looking forward to a lot more this season.
Yeah, Jaden, was that refreshing to hear? Obviously, the last minute transfer, the deadline deal came through. I can sympathise with you, mate, because I left Carlisle United on transfer deadline to sign for Hull City. I know I shouldn't mention the Tigers on this podcast, probably, Matt, but it was a mental day that I had to go through, because one minute I was obviously a Carlisle player, and at 5 o'clock that evening I got the phone call to say that we've accepted a bid, you've got to pack your bags and get yourself off. How did your transfer deadline unfold with the move to Leeds United, and were you very excited because of what you'd seen previously playing against Elland Road?
Yeah, no, it was pretty similar, to be fair. Obviously, it was a Friday, we travelled down to Brentford. I trained in the morning and there was nothing about a move during the day. So I was just preparing for the game as I would. And then probably 5 minutes before we got to the hotel, I got a call from my agent saying obviously the move had come about, and I had to think about it. And then it was just a load of phone calls during the day, and then I think it didn't get done right until the last minute. But I was really excited. Obviously, like I said, last year I came here and experienced the crowd, and I knew that I'd probably thrive playing in that environment. I always love a stadium with a good energy, and it's an exciting time to be here, really.
We're thrilled to have you, mate. We know it was sort of in irregular circumstances with the swap, but we've basically been able to bring in a player who's got exceptional championship pedigree. I mean, you were brilliant with Bournemouth previously. Obviously, you had the season in the Premier League last year, and this is going to be a little bit different. But what are you hoping to achieve with Leeds this year? I mean, is getting back into the Premier League as soon as possible your aim?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, I think the squad we have, everyone knows we'll be pushing to get that promotion. And yeah, there's a lot of teams in this league that are, will probably say the same. They want to go for promotion, and yeah, if it's the playoffs or automatics. But yeah, I've come here with a goal to try and help as much as possible and yeah, achieve that goal really.
Obviously that goal yourself personally, to get that first goal, it's a massive tick off the list for this season. Are you a player like myself, Jay, in the past, I used to always set targets of goals and appearances in a season. Do you do that, or are you just a lad that takes it each game at a time?
I've never really done in terms of numbers. I feel like I want to create chances. I feel like that I'm that type of player that creates chances and scores goals. And yeah, I have a goal to score as many as possible, and I don't want to set a limit or set one too high in the other way. So yeah, I just want to help the team as much as possible, really, in terms of creating and scoring, and also the other side in terms of working hard for the team as well.
Matt, you know what I've just picked up on there with Jaden? You're an entertainer. You're in the entertainment industry, yeah? Jaden just mentioned there, when the pressure's on, you're playing in front of big stadiums, you become entertained. Robbie Williams is one of the best at it, do you know what I mean? I've seen a lot of people and players in the past that are, I call them training ground players, where they're absolutely amazing at the training ground. You put them in front of an Elland Roadhouse and they can't even trap a football. So, you know, from what we've seen of Jaden so far, man, if he's going to entertain like he is on that wing and be with the crowd, I'm all for it, mate. So carry on entertaining, Jaden, please. Because it's a joy to watch.
For sure. Thank you, mate. I appreciate that.
That's exactly what we want to see at Leeds as well. We want to see players playing fearlessly and playing exciting. And under Farker, it seems like that's going to be the order of business. How's it been under the boss? Obviously, you've only been here for a few weeks, but what's it like? Is that what he encourages in his players, to play with flair and excitement?
Yeah. I think obviously you see the attacking quality in the squad. I think, there's a lot of players that will excite the fans this season. I think we'll all have a big role to play. And yeah, I think that's what the manager wants, really, for us to link up and create some magic, really.
Is it going to be frustrating with a bunch of teams that are trying to stifle that this year, maybe playing the old low block or putting men behind the ball? Is that going to be frustrating for you guys? Have you guys got a plan for that going forward?
I think a lot of teams in this league, they play obviously like five at the back, and against teams like us where there's a lot of quality, a lot of teams will sit in and try and soak up some pressure. But I think that's down to us as the attacking players to try and find gaps and create chances through that. And yeah, I think I always look forward to that challenge, and I think we have enough quality to try and break through teams that's it low.
Is Daniel one of them coaches with the attacking players? Do you go through patterns of play, Jaden, in the final third, or does he basically say to you, lads, listen, when we get the ball in the final third, it's up to you to create magic? Does he give you that belief and ability?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, really. Obviously, I think he's probably one of the, obviously it's early weeks, but one of the most detailed managers I've worked with. I think the meetings are very long, and he plans out exactly what he wants us to do, and then it's up to us as players. We have a lot of options when we're on the pitch, and we sort of know where each other should be, and then it's down to us to be there and put it into practice, really. And yeah, obviously then we can create from the positions we're in, but he's very detailed in what he wants, and yeah, I'm having to learn a lot quickly.
Was Daniel a draw for you? Was he one of the reasons you wanted to come to Leeds United?
Yeah, no, 100%. Obviously he's been so successful in this division before, and yeah, obviously I spoke a bit with Max Ahrens, who's at Bournemouth now, and he said he only spoke highly of him and said he'd be perfect for my play style, and I could learn a lot from him, and yeah, I'm seeing that already, and yeah, hopefully I can keep improving as a player this year and have some great success with this team.
Well, you've just mentioned Max Ahrens there. Was there any other lads that have you've been involved with that you know before you came to Leeds United? Have you had to get to know everybody once you've arrived? Or is there any familiar faces that you know?
Yeah, no, I was at Arsenal with Jan when we was very young, and then he got his move to Barcelona. But yeah, no, I haven't seen him for a long time. And other than that, really, it was getting to know everyone. Obviously, I've played against a few of the boys and played against Leeds last season. But I didn't know anyone personally like that. So yeah, I've had to integrate very quickly. But the boys made it easy for me. And I feel a part of this team already.
What do you think of Leeds as a city? Obviously, it was something that Bridgie had to get used to when he moved down from the northeast.
Yeah, don't go where I used to go, mate.
How's it working out for you so far? Have you enjoyed your time in the city?
Yeah, no, it's been really nice. Obviously, I've been in a hotel for a lot of the time, and then I moved into a place yesterday, so
okay.
I feel a bit more at home now. And obviously, I've got to go to a few restaurants and stuff, and yeah, nice, a really nice place, and everyone seems nice. And the weather's not the best down here, but I'm used to it now.
And you said you've got your family with you as well. How is that? I mean, as the life of a footballer, you never know where you're going to end up. I suppose you can sign a 4-year deal, but you never know where you're going to be. So how does your family kind of approach that?
Yeah, no, it was a big shock for them on deadline day as well.
Yeah,
and,
I bet.
To be honest, they didn't really know what was happening right up until the end. I think they were sitting by the TV waiting, and they've been really supportive of it and excited, and they were made to feel very welcome at the game on the weekend, and that was really nice for them, and I'm really appreciative of that, really.
I'm glad to hear it.
Another good way to settle into Leeds, obviously, the shopping, but don't do the mistake that I did. I took me missus and showed her Harvey Nichols when I moved down. Biggest mistake of my life, mate. Cost me an absolute fortune to keep her happy. So, do the coffee shops in the city centre, mate, and look after yourself, but don't make that mistake.
Yeah, I'll stay away, don't worry.
How's the training been? I mean, I'm curious as to the differences, obviously, Premier League, Championship, but just from Bournemouth to Leeds, like what's the training been like? Has it been intensive, or has it been stuff you're used to? Like how's it differ from where you've come from?
Yeah, no, it's very intense, obviously. The staff here are very demanding, but I've been used to that at Bournemouth as well. I think it's a big culture up there as well, in the way they train. It's been hard for a few years, so I had a good pre-season in fairness, so I came in and I was ready to go, so
right.
I've enjoyed it, and it's been intense, but yeah, really enjoying it.
Do you know the facilities at Leeds United, the training ground facilities? When I was there, we had our first sign in 99, we had absolutely nothing, to be fair. It was a lovely, there was fields everywhere. We had the academy on site, but it was the old building down the bottom. And the second year I saw that whole new indoor arena and gymnasium come together at Thorpe Arch, which was mind blown to think that we had a swimming pool and things like that, and to see the transformation. What's the facilities like compared to Bournemouth at Leeds United regarding that? Because obviously I haven't seen anything at Bournemouth.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable here. I still think I haven't been in all the rooms. It feels like it's a massive training ground, and they got everything you need, really. Obviously Bournemouth are currently building a new training ground. So their one is, right now is quite small. It's at the back of the stadium, but the facilities here are unbelievable, and like I said, it feels massive, and you can get lost easily.
Well, there's one room I don't want you to visit. That's the treatment room table, okay? Because that was my second home, Matt, wasn't it?
Yeah, first home. Ellen Road was your second home.
Oh, yeah. scandalous you.
All of your managers that you've been under, I mean, you've mentioned Scotty Parker there, but they've all spoken incredibly highly of you. I think Scott Parker said you're incredible. Gary O'Neill said that he loved you because you always want to do extra work. You're a fantastic member of the group. Iraola, who I imagine you were only under for a short time, said, "I love him as a person and as a player. He's a top, top guy." What is it you think that managers love about you so much? Is it work ethic? Is it just your personality in the dressing room? What is it?
This is your time to shine and give yourself the biggest ego here, Jaden. Go on.
Introduce yourself to Leeds fans. Tell us what managers love about you.
I'd love to say it was my play style. I don't know. I always give my all for the team. I think it's clear. I always try and track back and help the team as much as possible. And I think managers have always said to me that I'm reliable on the pitch. And I think that's a good trait to have as a player. Obviously, I like to excite and create and stuff, but I also like to do the dirty work for the team. And I think, a lot of people appreciate that in this game.
No, certainly will.
I was going to say, I can answer your question because you're being very modest there. I can tell you exactly, Matt, why. Because when you see players that, like I say, the impact when he came on and got the goal, mm-hmm. at the weekend, you're looking for that response in the mindset. You don't want players sulking that they're not playing. You want healthy competition for places, and you want people to be ready. and switched on mentally, physically, and all that kind of thing. So for me, looking on the outer and, you know, being involved in coaching and seeing body language is a big thing for me. So there's nothing better when you see a player that is ready to come on the field and want to do their best for that football club, for them personally, but also for the football club. You can quite easily see people coming on and the body language is not there and they're going through the motions. And as a coach, that's a coach killing moment, because you've got to tap into what why are they being like that? You know, is it mm-hmm. is there might be something going on in their life off the field that you might have tapped into, or is it just basically because they've been sulked and that they're being dropped? But obviously, what we've seen with Jaden, you know, it's a coach's dream to have somebody like that. So another thing I wanted to ask you about, Jaden, obviously there's video analysis sessions and all the rest of it. Do you like looking and dissecting your own performances and games with the analysis team? Are you one that does that, or do you just wait for them to approach you?
I always watch my games and my clips back after games, usually by myself, to be honest, and try and go through where I've gone wrong and what I can improve on. And yeah, no, I think that's a big part of my routine, really. Usually a day or two after the game, once the dust has settled and the emotions are sort of out of it, then yeah, I like to try and improve and see what I can do better next time.
That's similar in your industry, Matt, as well. You would look back at your footages and have to look back at clips of you acting, wouldn't you?
I mean, I try and avoid it if I can, mate, to be totally truthful.
But you know when you were going through it, that's something that you've got to brush up and get better, haven't you? So the hardest thing is to look at yourself and do better.
That's very, very true. Interestingly, in my game, they have some directors won't let you do it because they think that you'll get too hyper focused on trying to hit certain beats that you'll kind of not be like you'll know. Longer be in the moment, as it were, which I suppose is quite interesting in football as well, because yes, you can, there's a very technical aspect to it where you have to be in the right places at the right time, but it's also can be an instinct game, can't it? I mean, you don't want to completely scrub that reflexive, instinctive, passionate aspect of the game. I mean, take Ruta, for example, in that game that was doing things that maybe the manager might have been like, pass the bloody ball, but instead he does this incredible step over and then takes it around one player, takes it around the other. You don't want to completely remove that from your game, do you?
Yeah, no, like you say, a lot of it does come down to instinct, and yeah, I think it's about picking and choosing the moments that you can improve and then not taking out that natural, like, where you don't think, you know,
yeah.
Like it just comes off. And yeah, I think you got to keep that and try not to lose that. And like you say, it's quite similar. Obviously, I mentioned Scott Parker, but he didn't like us watching back training or games in the training ground. So I used to sneak off and watch it on my iPad when I got home.
Interesting. Did he give a reason for that?
No, because I was, especially coming through, it's just a big thing to watch your training after. So yeah. There was a group of us that used to go into the media office and just watch training. And then, when he came in, he didn't like us doing it. I don't know why, but it's probably similar in terms of scrutinising yourself too much and losing that. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be analysing his golf swing in video, and because if it's terrible, I'm going to replay it on the WhatsApp group that we've all got over here and just show him how bad he is. going away from football, Jaden, what do you do in your spare time? Because obviously you've only just met me for 15 minutes here. You'll take into consideration I'm a very keen golfer. I love my food and I love going on holidays, so I'm away at the minute. So what do you do in your spare time, and what's your favourite holiday destination?
Yeah, no, spare time, I'm a big gamer. I'm sure you've probably heard that from a lot of players, but I'm big into FIFA and all other games, but yeah, I spend a lot. Probably too much time on the PlayStation.
Never too much time.
I'm not so good at golf. I've tried, but I've never been able to pick it up, and I get pretty frustrated when I'm not good at things. So I've pretty much sat that in and said, it's not for me.
Well, I never said I was good. I just said I played. So, you know,
no one's good at it.
Matt's a big gamer, aren't you, Matt?
I am, mate. Yeah, I am. I'm a keen golfer as well, and I'm not really very good at either of them. But there we go. I mean, do you play with all the other lads? Do you play with all the other players? Like, I know Pat Bamford's a keen player, and we've had a few players on this year that have talked about it. Do you have like a group on PlayStation? You all play FIFA with each other?
Yeah, I've heard that. Obviously, Georgie's big into it. Pat's into it. There's a few in the team. Obviously, I've been in the hotel and the Wi-Fi has not been so good, so I'm waiting for my Wi-Fi to come in, and then I'll give all the boys a beat and whoever wants one.
Are you the best player?
I got to be, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I back myself in FIFA, yeah.
See, I love it how he can be so modest when it comes to his own playing ability, right? On the field. But when as soon as it comes to FIFA, he's like, I'm the good, I'm the best.
I'm going to speak to Pat. I want to know what some score lines. Next time we get someone on, I want to know exactly what you've done to him.
Yeah, once the Wi-Fi is up.
Oh, okay, once the Wi-Fi is back up. You mentioned about your early days there, you know, when you used to review your video stuff. I assume, was that when you were coming through at Arsenal?
Yeah, Arsenal and, through the academy of Bournemouth as well before I got to the first team. I used to watch quite a lot, yeah.
How was that coming through at a big club like Arsenal? Like, did you have a lot of influences there? Were there any key figures in your development throughout that era?
Yeah, obviously, it's a massive club, and yeah, they had some of the best facilities, best coaches, and you know, it's the perfect place for me to grow. I had a lot of staff that I could lean on, and a lot of players that in my age group that have obviously made it to the top level as well. And it's actually funny, I was speaking to Ampa, Ethan Ampadu, the other day, and his dad was one of my favourite coaches when I was at Arsenal. And wow. Actually helped me a lot when I got released in terms of getting me a few trials and stuff. And you know, it's crazy that the world works in full circle, and yeah, now I'm playing with him.
There's not many coaches. Like we had this discussion a while back with Carl Dollar on the interview, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Carl was saying like the toughest thing is getting released or getting told that you're not good enough, because I'd been let down at Newcastle and at Middlesbrough when I was a kid, Jaden. So it was third time lucky for me at Sunderland. And like you say, the coaches, some that didn't offer any help. So that's really, really good to hear. You know, that's probably why Ethan's so grounded as well, and he's so switched on and experienced. He's got a mentor like that. So it was your mentors when you were coming. Did you have any of the current players at Arsenal that were mentoring you, or was there something to do with family or
yeah obviously in my age group we had Emile Smith Rowe and Reece Nelson, who have obviously gone on to have great starts to their careers, and they're unbelievable. Then above me was Eddie Nketiah and Joe Willock, and yeah, Eddie helped me so much, and obviously had a period here as well where he done really well and scored loads of goals. And there was a period when I was probably under 16 and he was in his first year of his scholarship where we was both on the bench a lot, and yeah, we used to sort of lean on each other and keep each other going. And then obviously he went on to have an unbelievable time in the Arsenal Academy and scored loads of goals. And then obviously I had to take a different route and move on. But yeah, no, I think he was a big part of keeping me going and keeping believing in myself. And yeah, no, he's a great person for sure.
You know, we don't want to dwell on the past too much because obviously you're flying now. But we talk a lot on this show about, you know, mental health and resilience and overcoming setbacks. And you just mentioned there, you know, you got released by Arsenal. Like, what was? Can you talk us through a little bit, like what that was like? Like just for yourself, how you picked yourself up, how you stayed focused, and like did you believe that you were going to keep in football, or was there a real concern that might be it for you?
Yeah, no, it was a tough time. Obviously, it's also a tough time because you're doing your GCSEs as well, and you're trying to stay focused on that and try and give yourself to football as well. And,
yeah,
it was tough. Obviously, I remember not wanting to tell my friends that I'd been released. It was almost sort of embarrassing. I'd been at Arsenal so long and sort of known for playing for Arsenal. And then, yeah, it was a reality hit. And, you know, I think I was able to pick myself up quite quickly. And like I said, with Ethan's dad and, a lot of people helped me with getting trials. I think I went to so many different clubs and got told no as well there. And I always had a sort of belief and, yeah, sort of confidence that I'd find somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, luckily, like Bournemouth took the chance on me, and then, yeah, the rest is history, really.
Is there like a time limit where you think, right, well, I've been released. How old were you when that happened?
I would have been, 16.
16. So you're like, well, if I keep trialing and I don't get anywhere by the time I'm 18, like, that's it. I'm going to have to find another job. Like, do you feel like a time constraint on it? Or is it just like, no, I want to be a footballer, I'll keep going?
Yeah, I think it's probably the second one. And I've always, since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be a footballer. I've always used to say I wanted to be a policeman or a fireman, but that was never true. It was always because I was told that I needed to have a backup, and
right.
that was just the first thing I could think of. But yeah, no, it was always football for me. And yeah, no, I think to be fair, it didn't really get that long in terms of when I was released and when I signed for me to start doubting if I could make it. I think I was lucky in terms of I went straight into trialing before the season had finished, really. And then yeah, by the summer I signed for a new club, and I didn't have to worry about what I was going to do next, really. I could just remain focused on trying to get into a new team, really.
Well, it's a credit to yourself, Jaden, because there's a lot of youngsters listening to this podcast as well. I mean, you know, everybody goes through rejection in some form of a life. You know, we were lucky enough to be footballers. We've got a very similar pathway with rejection. Twice I used it as motivation. When I got rejected, I had a good father figure that was saying, listen, go and prove these coaches wrong. Go and use that as motivation and go and still follow your dreams. And I had a backup plan like you. I wanted to be a school teacher just because it was the school teacher saying, what are you going to do when you don't become a professional footballer? If you don't, I was like, well, I want to be like you, sir. I'll be a school teacher. You know, I flippantly just said it out of the blue. So for you to have that kind of, what you've just said there, it's invaluable for a lot of people that will be listening to this, whether they're being rejected in business or their companies or whatever, or in life in general, to use it as a positive and try and, you know, there's always something that can get us out of like a dark and dreary place. You've just got to be up for the challenge.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, we won't take up any more of your time, Jaden. I'm sure you've got a busy day. I know you've been training already, and so we'll let you go. I just want to ask if next time you give Pat a proper spanking on FIFA, can I just watch? I'll just be a voyeur. Yeah, yeah. That's all I want to do. I just want to have my own share play, and I just want to watch, enjoy the show. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll put on a show for you, and yeah, no problem.
Thank you,
Matt. When you're next over, mate, because whenever you're next over in the UK, Matt, we need to organise something, right? Because there's that many gamers. I've told you, for a 44-year-old man as well, I reckon I can still mix it with you lot, because I'm still have a little, I still have a little go on COD with me son. And we play something else as well where it gets smaller and smaller in a time frame. Fortnite.
Oh, Fortnite, yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, I can still mix it. So we need to get something organised where we'll all have a game off, right?
You need a PS5 though, mate. You're probably still on PS2, you are, yeah? What have you got?
Oh, honestly, you are horrible, man. You are horrible. Jaden, it's not true what I said about him earlier. I think he's a total c*** now. Good stuff, mate.
Right, well, on that bombshell, we will let you go, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on after such a big weekend for you. We really appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck with not just the rest of the season, obviously, but beyond that, hopefully, but yeah. Particularly this weekend with a tough game at St Mary's. Best of luck with everything, and thank you so much.
Wish you all the
Cheers,
best, Jaden, mate.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Well, that was brilliant, as per usual. I think we're getting a bit of a running theme now with having our players on. They all seem like a really good bunch, don't they?
Yeah, I think once, you know, I could tell he was a little bit timid at first. It's quite daunting, you know, sitting here with me and you, us two old gits, you know what I mean?
Oh, aye.
Interrogating one of our players. But that was nice. He warmed up. He gave a good insight into how he's settling in. And the one I want to know is obviously about the transfer deadline, because I haven't gone through it myself. I just want to know how he felt about that. So a top kid. Seems level-headed, grounded, and wants to learn, and his performances. I just love players that entertain and do tricks, mate. That's what I like. And another player, I've got to say, another player, Matt, that you'll be delighted, because off the field, he loves the game. And you're one of them that loves his games. And I know you get a lot of freebies as well, because of obviously your background.
I did. I'm always trying to edge into these players' conversation. I'm like, can I play? I did play with Pat once, actually, and he's actually... frustratingly really quite good.
Is it? Did you swap gamer tags? Did you?
Yeah, we did, mate. We did. And he's actually pretty good. He was carrying me for a lot of it. So maybe I don't want to be involved in that. I'll stick to the single player ones. In fact, speaking of which, I just want to give a quick shout out to Mashin Momo at CD Projekt Red, who is a lifelong Leeds fan. Okay, this is a big major video games company. I'm a huge fan of their work, and he is a lifelong Leeds fan, listens to the show every week, and he actually sent me a copy of their new game Cyberpunk 2077 this week, and I promised him I'd give him a shout out because he loves Leeds, and I chat to him quite a bit about Leeds United, and I just wanted to say thank you to him.
Well, there you go, right on cue for your freebies.
Yeah, I know how good was that, to give a little plug for everyone as
I'm going to send you my address, and you can get one of them sent him for me and my son as well, mate.
That
there you go.
Shameless, wasn't it? I know, I feel
Absolutely
embarrassed by
shameless.
That, but there you go, Mashin. I told
I wasn't even teeing you up there, lads.
I know,
well,
mate,
for...
I know.
Well, I'm pleased he's a Leeds fan.
He is. He absolutely is. He's a massive fan through thick and thin, League One, Championship and all the rest. And speaking of Leeds and the Championship, big game at the weekend with, well, weird one, innit? Because it is still a big game, but Southampton have hit quite the bump in the road, haven't they?
I watched the first game of the season that they played in. I think they had like 700 to 800 passes in the pull off a brilliant result, to be fair to them. And I thought, oh, they're going to be a contenders this season. They lost a couple of players, obviously. And after that first couple of weeks, they've been horrendous. Mm-hmm. Sunderland absolutely destroyed them. Then I watched them against Leicester City. And what they are doing, we all want to play out from the back, yeah, and that's the way the game, you know, should be played.
Right.
As long as you've got the players and the calibre to do it, and you've got to know when. I call it no risk football, Matt. If there is a bit of a risk factor, I think Melier's realised this as well, which has been nice and refreshing for us. Like if he knows there's nothing on, he's not worried to put his foot through it now and just launch it as far as he can away from his goal. Southampton, however, against Leicester, they've been gifting goals. So if you get there, what I love is the way we're pressing at the minute. We're very organised. It's communicated. We know when to press, how to press, what to do. And if we get it spot on, this team in Southampton will gift us chances, and we've got to capitalise on them because they're having a horrendous run and getting beat off Middlesbrough at the weekend as well, by the way, who are bottom of the league. That was a shock result that I didn't see coming. I thought it might have been a draw, but to see them get beat, I was absolutely delighted. So hopefully the form that they are in, the players will be down. Whether we see by the time this podcast goes out whether the manager will have gone or not, I don't know, because mate, he's got to be on thin ice. I know there's a project and I don't like getting managers to sack and talking about it, but the results that they have had, they can't afford to rest on the laurels. So hopefully they don't bounce back against us, and I think it's a huge opportunity to go and send another massive statement to the Championship.
I mean, it doesn't seem like he's going to change his tactic, does it? So if he's still in the job, it would certainly seem to benefit Leeds United.
Do you know why he won't? Because that's his blueprint, Matt.
Right.
That is what his job description when he's been there. That's what it states. He's not going to then go, if he starts to go route one and goes to his like plan B and gets rid of all the playing out, you've almost admitted defeat then personally.
Yeah, it doesn't go well.
So the players will not buy into that. They'll go, oh, here we go. This is what we've been asking, blah, blah, blah. You've lost the players. You've lost the fan. You've probably lost your job. So they're going to work on it. They're going to try and play out. And like I say, as long as they're going to play out as badly as they've been doing, it should be a luxury for us.
It'll be an interesting test for Leeds United as well. Because, I mean, I know obviously we're away from home. But that also can play into our hands a bit in that they're the home side. They can't just sit back, you know. I mean, not that they will anyway with the way they play, but they have to, you know, their fans aren't going to stand for that. They're going to want to come at us and try and get something, which will hopefully play into our hands. That said, it's an important game for Leeds United, for this new look Daniel Farke Leeds United. Because this is the kind of game that we all have the PTSD over. It's the one where you go, oh, you've not won in four games. Everyone's tonking you. Oh, well, Leeds United will help you break out of that. Don't worry about that. Now, is this time where this Leeds United says, actually, no, we don't do that anymore. We're just going to beat you like everyone else has been.
If you're taking into consideration what we were talking about at the start of the show against the Watford, who didn't sit back and try and absorb. They had to sit back because we were totally dominating the game, but they still tried to play out. Which created a lot of opportunities to win the ball back. Southampton will do exactly the same. If it was a team that were going to come in defensive block and launch the ball and try and not play through the lines, just, you know, a percentage football, we've shown that we can do that against Millwall. But this style of play, Southampton, really suits us. And I think them, what you're talking about there, this team won't allow it, and Daniel Farke won't allow complacency. This is now time to go, like I say, to send a message to the rest of the league. And I wish I was playing, because Southampton was the team I used to love bloody scoring against, mate. This Southampton was the second game of my Leeds United career. The first one was Derby County, 0-0 after coming with a big price tag. It was the worst game of my career, mate. I was honking. It was the most boring game. Going to Southampton and scoring a hat-trick and then scoring at Elland Road in the last minute against them in the 93rd minute as well. I just used to love playing Southampton. So, yeah, I'm just waiting for Daniel to ring us up and say, mate, get your boots ready. You know, I'll fly back from Portugal for the game.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, are you going to be there or are you still going to be on your jollies, are you?
I'm still going to be on my jollies, unfortunately.
Supping your cocktails.
I'll be sat down the local bar. I'm not going to give a plug like you did because I'm not as shameless as that. But I'll be down the beach bar getting me free drinks.
If it's a Leeds fan that's serving you, you're allowed. It's fine, honestly. Oh, well, okay. So while you're all down along the south coast watching Leeds United, just imagine Bridgie in his bar drinking his cocktails. But we'll all be celebrating, won't we? Because we're going to win. So let's hope Leeds can get a little over the line. I'm actually very, very excited for it. It's frustrating that we've got an afternoon kickoff again. I'll be in the pub at 7:30 a.m. But it'll all be worth it by full time, I'm sure.
It certainly will be. Bring it on. Enjoy it. Celebrate. And hopefully we'll both lose our voices from cheering, mate. So there you go.
That's the idea. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for another great week. And we'll be back next week with some more Leeds United news. Enjoy.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you, everybody.